And Jesus took the maid by the hand, and she arose. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have the careful record of the miracle of the healing of the daughter of Jairus, leader of the synagogue. We find out his name from the other Gospels. And also the healing of the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And this miracle has a lot to encourage us with in our own time, in our own walk with Christ. We see, first of all, that Jairus is a loving father to his daughter. So loving, in fact, that he comes to Jesus to ask that he will come and lay his hand upon his daughter that she may live. It's an extraordinary request. We shouldn't let this slip by us. He comes to Christ and says, she is even now dead. Now, I've been to emergency rooms where ministering to people, and I've seen that if somebody goes past the terminal point and they flatline and they're pronounced dead, the staff leaves the room. They're on to help other people. They don't stick around for that. We have a recognition of our limitations on the human level. And when a person is dead, they're gone. That's the end. But this man thinks that Christ can do something beyond that. And he comes with a fervent faith. In fact, when he comes to worship him in the Greek, he falls down on his knees before the Lord. He shows reverence. And we can learn from his petition to Christ that we would come to Christ, to Jesus, with that same kind of reverence, and that we would make our petition known. So we see the love of that father, who is protector to his daughter, as now, you know, it's outside of anything he can do now. He has to come to Christ. And that's where we can come when we find our own limitations in our own family relationships and the ways that we're being true to others. For those things that are outside of our control, we go to God and make our petition known. And so we see the father do that in an extraordinary way. Even after his daughter has died, he goes to Christ and asks that he would lay his hand upon her. So we can be encouraged by his example, even to ask God impossible things. For those things that are impossible for us on the human level are not impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. And we find that this petition that he makes is answered. Now, on the way to his house, because Christ is like a paramedic coming, the disciples following, and an entourage of people. At this time in his ministry, he was very popular. There may have been hundreds even, maybe even over 1,000 people coming, you know, along. While they're going, there is a sudden stop to the procession because a woman has reached out and touched the clothes of Jesus, hoping that she might get healed. Now, what is her situation? She has an issue of blood for 12 years. She has a hemorrhage. She's hemorrhaging blood. We find out from the other gospel accounts that she's paid all of her money out to doctors, but it's only gotten worse. So she's bleeding out and bleeding her life, blood, and her money, her living, and she's in a desperate place. All she needs from Christ is a little bit. She has the faith of that mother, the Syrophoenician woman, who wanted just a crumb from the Lord's table. She just needs a little bit. She doesn't even need to face him or call his attention to her. She just needs not even just to touch him, but just to touch his clothes. Not just his clothes, just the fringe of the garments enough. And then she knows she can be healed. Now, in her secretive way, we can understand why she would keep things, private. In the Jewish way, a woman that had an issue of blood was considered ritually unclean. And so that means that for 12 years, she's always been considered unclean and not able to do anything at the temple. And it also means that anybody that would touch her or her clothes that were stained with the blood would be made unclean. So she's got a situation that is very difficult according to the Levitical law. And one where you can understand why she would be discreet about this. Doesn't want to call attention to herself, just wants to touch, not even Jesus, just the hem of his garments enough. And her own petition, her own prayer, in the secret counsels of her own hearts, is seen by God, and she's healed when she touches Jesus' garment. Well, Jesus stops. He feels virtue come out of him. So he stops, says to Peter, "Who touched me?" Peter's like, "Look, we're being pressed by the crowd. It's like everybody's touching you, you know. But he knows that it's a woman. And when she comes forward, daughter, be of good cheer, right? Your faith has saved you. There's an amazing moment here where that secret and furtive thing is brought into the light by Christ. Why? Because it's been transformed by his healing power and love. So we might learn from that too. There may be in our own walk with Christ something that has been private to us, that once Christ touches that and brings us out of that particular place, maybe a place of bondage, spiritual bondage, where we've committed some sinful deed and we're unclean, and now Christ is forgiving us of our sins and washing us and making us, you know, new again, maybe that thing that we did secretly will be made manifest. It happens. It happened to this woman. The thing that she was secret about is now known. In fact, we're talking about it 2,000 years later. Right? The whole world knows about it now. Same thing happened with St. Paul in his ministry. You don't see him, you know, in a sense, he speaks about his former life where he persecuted Christians and did those evil things. He speaks about them in a very humble and open way now that he has been changed. That was Saul, now he's Paul. A different life, now that he's been reborn, remade, and onto the kingdom. So it may be for us, we might take a lesson here too, that those things that we are ashamed of before, now that we have been touched by the love and the mercy and the power of God, now these things come into the open. And like this woman who was healed by the touch of Christ, we will also be able to make a testimony of how powerful is God. Because she came there very enfeebled and weak, a dying woman, and she was restored. She was healed in that self-same hour. Now the Lord Jesus then goes toward the house of Jairus and to his daughter. It's back to the errand where they were on their way. And here we might even take an example from Jesus, that his timetable is really not his timetable. I mean, can we say that? Is touching his human nature? Do we know that he had this all planned out? Was he, you know, if he feels virtue come out of him and turns around, he's not just going to the house of Jairus. There is a certain improvisational nature to the ministry of Christ, is there not? As he fulfills the Father's will. But he has to be humble to what the Father is doing and to his own ministry of bringing the kingdom of heaven into the world. We can say from the biblical witness that there are times where Jesus doesn't know certain things as touching his human nature. He doesn't know where Lazarus is buried, for example. So I would see this interruption in the way that Jesus ministers to the woman and comes along again with Jairus as an example to us that we would be humble like that in Christ-like love and recognize that there will be opportunities for love that don't really fit in the way that we have planned our day. So, you know, if you look at your planner and you've got everything down to the minute, there may be the phone call or the interruption or the person that needs assistance. And just because we have our ideas about how the day is going to play out, let us recognize that God is the master scheduler. And if we have opportunity to minister to somebody, let us take that opportunity. Let us personalize that moment with grace. Let it be love to the other, and then we can get on with the rest of the business. I think we miss a lot of golden opportunities when we kind of stick to plan and have our own rigid idea of how things must unfold. God has a different idea than we do. And his ways are not our ways. They are better than our ways. And so may we be humble like Christ and do it his way. So they do arrive at the house of Jairus, and all is in a different sense here. There's no expectation of the healer there. They come out and say there's no need for him anymore. She's already dead. And the wailers are there, the minstrels that are making their funerary. At that time, they would have professionals that would come and start everybody crying and weeping and wailing. And they were known for this. So it's kind of, people really worked up as they arrive there. And Jesus says, make way. She's not dead, she's sleeping. Well, the Lord of life has arrived. He knows what's what. And they make fun of him. The world doesn't understand what the Lord of life will do. And his ways are contrary. But he's not stopped by that. We can take example from that too. Jairus and his wife, they're not discouraged. They follow Christ through the crowd that's saying, don't bother, don't worry. Don't bother and don't come, it's over. Right? They follow Jesus where he will go. And they're not discouraged by those who are saying, like the ways of the world, no hope, there's no hope. They follow Jesus where there's always hope. Hope of the resurrection. And Jesus, in raising the daughter of Jairus, young maid, I say to thee, arise, and he lifts her up. He's brought her back from beyond death. She had slipped past the terminal point. He brings her back to life. We see that three times in the Gospels. This woman, we see it with the son of the widow of Nain. We see it with Lazarus, 4 days dead. Jesus brings them back. He properly revives them. Now, we wouldn't call that a resurrection. That's a different thing. That's when a person is raised up to newness of life where they will never die again. This was a revival where they were revived and then they would have to die again. We know that you don't see Lazarus on the Today Show breaking all records for longevity. He died again. And he's buried someplace awaiting the resurrection. And that time will come. But the healing of this woman from her mortal condition shows the power of Jesus. And the Lord of life is pointing toward the fullness that he will demonstrate by his own resurrection. When though he is battered, bruised, and torn apart, and crucified, and dies upon the cross, yet by his indestructible life, he rises again from the dead, and rises again never to die again. He is risen to eternal life, and that life he shares with us, that we might be partakers of the same. So we can take an example from this woman who woke up again. She was asleep in death, and Jesus came and woke her up. And we get to experience that, God willing, in the coming. Well, we know that every person will be raised up from the dead. It's a general resurrection. There is nobody who will not be raised up from the dead. So we can learn from her, right? She wakes up and sees Jesus, and we should prepare and plan for that too. That when we are awakened at the end of time, when the Lord comes again, that we will come out of our grave ready to meet the Lord. The first one she saw was Jesus. May he be the first one that we see in expectation, our Lord Jesus, and see him as our Lord, not as our judge. And so this event is helpful to us as we come to this close of Trinity time. Today is our last Trinity Sunday in our parish worship. Next week we'll have the Feast of Christ the King, and then Advent. The beginning of a new Christian year with Advent, where the emphasis is on the second coming of Christ. And may we think upon those eternal things, that Christ will come again, and that we in him shall rise again from the dead. May we take comfort and lessons from this miracle account, that we, like Jairus, will be willing to come to Christ and make petitions for those things that are beyond our ability to change, and allow him to act, for with God all things are possible. May we be like that woman, not afraid to let the love transform us and bring us into a place where we may indeed make public testimony of the way that God has brought us out of bondage into freedom, out of being unclean to now being clean. May we be patient like Christ and see opportunities for love and ministry, and allow God to be the master schedule of our lives. And may we be like that young girl who, though she slept, awoke at the call of Christ, and look forward to that great day when we too shall rise again from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.